So we are holding on Tzedek Ches Amud Beis by the second Mishnah. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of carrying things from one of carrying things involving Rishuyos, we talked about the case where you find tefillin. We talked about the case where you're reading from a sefer and one end of it fell into another Rishuyos, where we talked about the ledge in front of a window. So continuing on that topic, again, much of what we have in our perek is really more belongs in Masechta Shabbos than in Eruvin. And in fact, the Rambam puts pretty much all of this in Hilchos Shabbos rather than Hilchos Eruvin. We talked about a couple of days ago what Tosfos says about why this perek is here in our Masechta, because it has it does have some things in it that have to do with Eruv Tchumen. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Oimid Adam b'Rishus HaYachid Mutalto b'Rishus HaRabim. A person is allowed to stand in Rishus HaYachid and move something in Rishus HaRabim. So in other words, let's say you can reach out of his door or his window or whatever and take something that's in Rishus HaRabim and move it from one place to another, within four amos, of course, as the Mishnah is going to say, b'Rishus HaRabim Mutalto b'Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, be standing in Rishus HaRabim and reach into Rishus HaYachid and move something around in there, as long as he doesn't move it more than four amos from where it was. The point is, in other words, we're not making a gzera that if we allow him to do this, then he might end up taking it out to the Rishus. He might end up taking it in or out to the Rishus where he is. We'll see in the Gemara why, in fact, we're not concerned about that.
He's not actually taking it from one. He's just moving it in one Rishus. He's not taking it from
Rishus. But you would think to make a gzera, that's the point. You would think to make a gzera that if you allow him, let's say, to reach out of his window and take something in Rishus HaRabim and move it less than four amos, what if he takes it in through the window and then he's carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid? We're saying we're not concerned about that. As long as he carries it less than four amos in Rishus HaRabim, then we're okay with it. With certain provisions that we'll see in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yamud adam b'rishus hayachid v'yashdin b'rishus harabim. A person shouldn't stand in rishus hayachid and urinate into rishus harabim. Or b'rishus harabim v'yashdin b'rishus hayachid, or vice versa. Now we're going to ask in the Gemara why not? It's not going from a makom dalad. We'll see that in the Gemara. But the point is, you would be carrying from one rishus, you're transferring something from one rishus to another, and you can't do that. V'chein lo yoruk, the same thing, you can't spit from one rishus to another rishus. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only you can't spit from one rishus to another, but af v'shenitlash rukai b'fiv, even once a person has saliva in his mouth, which has been detached. In other words, it's as the Gemara is going to say, it's like rolling around in his mouth. Lo yahalach arba amas ad sheyoruk. He shouldn't walk four amas in the street unless he spits first. Which, by the way, if it's windy, then you have a different issue. The Yerushalmi mentions, although the Bavli doesn't bring it, that a tolda of the malacha of zoyre, of winnowing grain, which involves you throw up the grain with the straw and whatever mixed into it into the air, and the wind blows away the straw and the grain falls down. The Yerushalmi says in Sbrot LaHalacha that a tolda of that would be spitting into the wind. So if you have saliva in your mouth, if it's windy, then you have a problem. I guess then you have to bend down far enough that the wind won't blow it away, or else spit into a part of your clothing or whatever. And then when you get home, take the clothing off and put it away or whatever. But if it's not windy, then fine. You don't walk four amos without first spitting to get the spit out of your mouth. It's brought, by the way, in Sefer Chassidim, an interesting thing. And first of all, the question is whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or not. That you have a macholik b'sushonim. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is that yesh oimrim, that you should be careful with it even in karmelis, but those who want to be makel, they have what to be soimachan, because after all, there are those who say that it doesn't even apply in Rishus HaRabim. Basically, it boils down to the question, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or not? If we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then Sefer Chassidim mentions an interesting idea about that you should be careful on Shabbos not to eat a lot of sesame seeds, because then you're going to have a lot of saliva in your mouth, and then when you're walking around on Shabbos, you're going to have a very hard time avoiding carrying it four amos in the street in your mouth. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Masni le Rav Chinina bar Shlemya lechia bar Rav kamei de Rav. Rav Chinina bar Shlemya taught our Mishnah to chia bar Rav in the presence of Rav. We've had this before, that Rav Chinina bar Shlemya was chia bar Rav's melamed. So he's teaching in Mishnayos and Braisis and whatever, and Rav was around to supervise. And he taught him our Mishnah in the form lo yamed ad rishus yachid b'talta rishus rabim, that a person should not stand in rishus yachid and carry into and carry something in rishus rabim, again sticking his hand out of the window or whatever and carrying it. So that was Rav Chinan bar Shlemi's version of the Mishnah. So Rav tells him, what are you doing? Shavkit Rabbanan va'avdas k'Rav Meir? Are you abandoning what the Chachamim say and going like Rav Meir? After all, Rav Meir, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, holds that you can't. Rav Meir holds, for example, you can't be standing in Rosh HaSiyachid and unlocking a door with a key in Rosh HaSarabim. Meaning, in other words, Rashi describes the scenario. Let's say you have the key is lying there in Rosh HaSarabim, and you pick it up and open with it a door that's in front of Rosh HaSarabim. The problem is that you might carry the key in. That's according to the mayor. The Chachamim disagree with that. So what are you giving me the mayor's opinion rather than the Chachamim's opinion?
You touched on this key.
We didn't mention about the key. Yeah, well, last time around, of course, we talked about it. No, I don't think we talked about it in the last few days. No, okay. In Rambam it was. Yes, that's what I was saying. Most of these halachas that we have in our perek are going to have been in Rambam perek echad the last week or so. Yeah. Okay. So Rav asked Rav Chinan bar Shlemia, why are you learning the Mishnah like Rav Meir's shita rather than the Chachamim? Now, what was Rav Chinan bar Shlemia thinking? Who sava midasefer the mayor reishanami the mayor? He figured that since the sefer is according to the mayor, namely the Mishnah about the key, which is later on Daf Kuf Aleph. Now, why are we calling it the sefer? We often have, when you have a bunch of Mishnayos on the same topic, then the Gemara calls them reisha and sefer respectively, because the Gemara assumes like they were all learnt together in the Beis Medrash and then written down in and then written down as separate Mishnayos. They may not have been numbered, that's true, but yeah. I mean, here in our Mishnah itself, by the way, you can see in the middle of the Mishnah, there's two dots over there, because if you look in the print in Mishnayos, you'll see these are actually two separate Mishnayos in the. Anyway, so Rav Chinan bar Shlemia figured that since the Sefer is according to the Meir, Tosfos anyway disagrees with that. Tosfos says, come on, from here until Daf Kuf Aleph, you're talking about Reisha and Sefer? No, Tosfos says what it is since we have at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af mishenit lashrukei b'fiv, the case where you have saliva in your mouth and you can't walk for amos. Now, who usually is Rabbi Yehuda arguing with? Rabbi Meir. So therefore, Rav Chinan bar Shlemia figured the sefer of our Mishnah itself, the case where it says that you're not allowed to spit, that you're not allowed to spit from one rishus to another, must be according to the mayor. And in that case, the reisha nami the mayor. Then the reisha must be according to the mayor. And the only way that could work then is if the reisha actually says you're not allowed to stand in one rishus and move something in the other rishus. But the Gemara says v'loihi. Actually, that's not so. Rav is correct. Sefer the mayor v'reisha rabbanon. The later Mishnah, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph for according to Rashi, the Mishnah over here about not spitting according to Tosfos is according to the Meir, but the Reisha is in fact according to the Rabbanon, and therefore the correct Girsa of the Mishnah should be as we have it, Oimid Adam Rishus Yachid Metalta Rishus Rabim, that you are allowed to stand in one Rishus and reach out through the window or whatever and move something in the other Rishus. So a key, then you would be allowed to. That's an example of it. That's an example of it. You'd be allowed to, let's say, for example, you're reaching out the window, taking a key that's on the ground over there and reaching over and unlocking a door over there. You could do that. As long as you're not moving it more than 4 amas and as long as you're not moving it into the rishus where you are. Yeah. With that said, though, we're going to see soon there might be more rules about that. So we'll get to that. Okay. We said Ravad Shalo Yotzi Chutz. Now the Mishnah is saying that he's not allowed to move the thing outside of 4 amas, implying Ha Hotzi Chayav Chatas. Now the implication seems to be that if he were to move it in Rosh Hashanah outside of 4 amas, he'd actually be Chayav Chatas. Now you have to consider the person himself is standing in the person himself is standing inside. Where is he moving it? He's moving it maybe above 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah, because he's reaching out through the window and picking it up and moving it more than moving it above 10 tefachim. And we still don't say that it's considered that he's moving it through Makom Patur and he should be Potter. We say we go according to the Akira and the Hanocha, and the Akira and Hanocha were both below 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah, even though he is standing in a different Rosh Hashanah. Lema Messiah Leila Rava. In that case, can we say that our Mishnah supports what Rava said? The Omar Rava, Hamavir Chayfet Mitchilas Arba L'Soif Arba. Rava says that if a person picks up something at the beginning of four Amos in Rishus Rabim, puts it down four Amos further along, Ve'avira Derech Olav, where the whole time he's carrying it above 10 Tfachim from the ground, Chayev. So you see from our Mishnah, it seems to be expressing the same idea. The Gemara says, not necessarily. After all, the Mishnah doesn't say that if he does carry it outside four Amos, then he's chayev chatos, meaning that he's over on an Isur Daraisa. Dilma imhoitzi potter avalosu. Maybe all the Mishnah means is he shouldn't do it, because if he did, then he's over on an Isur Darabanan. So there's no solid proof from this Mishnah for what Rava is saying. You have, by the way, we talked about yesterday or 2 days ago, that Tosfos has a different definition of Derech Olav, bringing from Rabbeinu Hananel, that what it's talking about is he's standing in one place and he picks up something from one side of him and brings it across and over him over to the other side. So he's not moving from his place at all. Which that's more similar, in a way, that's more similar to the case of our Mishnah, where he's standing inside one Rishus and moving something in the other Rishus. You can move something within four Amos in Rishus Rabim, but only once. Only within four Amos, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, if the person is turning around, if the person is bending over or whatever, I mean, a person's arm is about an Amma and a half long. So, and then you have the width of the person's body is about an Amma, so yeah. So, especially if he leans over a bit and leans over in the other direction, yeah, it's possible to do it. You have, by the way, that machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos of what Derech Olav means. You have the same thing between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam understands Derech Olav like Rashi, because he describes the case. A person is carrying something four Amos and Rishus Rabim above his head, and the Ravid disagrees over there, and then learns like Tosfos that it means that he's standing in one place and bringing it from one side of him to the other. Anyway. So that's the point. No, so if he carries it derech olav, according to either of those definitions, then he's chayev. So the Gemara wanted to use that as a proof for Rava that our Mishnah seems to also imply he's chayev, but the answer is not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah in our case, where he's standing in one Rishus and carrying it in the other Rishus, maybe he's only potter aval osur. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes the other way. Ha hoitzi potter aval osur, that was saying he's not allowed to move it four amos, more than four amos in Rishus Rabim. But if he does, then so the Mishnah doesn't say what happens if he does. So maybe the implication is that it's only potter aval osur. After all, the Mishnah should have, instead of just saying Ravad shalo yoitzi chutz la'ab amos, the Ritva points this out, instead of saying he shouldn't carry it outside of four amos, which implies he shouldn't, but if he did, he's not over on an Isur Daraisa, it should have said or it should have said chayev imhoitzi or whatever. So the fact that it doesn't seems to be implying potter aval osur, in which case lema tevet yuvda derava, in which case would our Mishnah be a contradiction to Rava? The Amar Rava hamavir chayfitz mitchilas dalud l'seif dalud v'havira derech olav chayev. The answer is not necessarily is the Mishnah a contradiction to Rava, because mi katani hoitzi potter aval osur. After all, fine, the Mishnah could have said chayev or could have said whatever, but it, the fact is all it says is shalo yotzi. It doesn't say what happens if he does. You're thinking, you makshin are thinking that it means potter aval osur, not necessarily dilmim hoitzi chayev chatas. Maybe as a matter of fact, if he does carry it out, he actually would be chayev chatas, which then would be the same as Rava's din. So you can't use our Mishnah as a proof for Rava, but you can't use it as a contradiction to him either. Okay. He's not within that Rishus. So that's the thing. So two ways of understanding our Mishnah. One, the first way of understanding our Mishnah is that if he did it, he actually would be Chayev Chatos, because the fact is he moved something more than four Amos in Rishus Rabim. He brought it above 10 Tfachim, doesn't matter, like Rava says. The other, right, well, he's standing in one Rishus and reaching out. No, he didn't carry it from Rishus to Rishus. We're talking about just the four Amos in Rishus Rabim. Well, the other way of understanding is that if he does it, he'd be Potter Aval Osur. Okay, I mean, the fact is we haven't contradicted Rava. The halacha is like Rava's din, that havira derech olav, then he'd be chayev. So it is over here then. So the halacha stays like Rava in the end, yeah. So if you move something in Rishus Rabim more than four amos, then it's all, either way, it's going to be osur. Either it's going to be osur daraisa or derabanan, but either way, it's going to be osur. Well, no, it's not a suffix, I'm saying, but the fact is, even if we said it's also derabanan, it would still be osur. Yeah. Okay. Then we said lo yamid adam b'rishas yachid, that a person shouldn't stand in rishas yachid and urinate or spit into the other rishos, and vice versa. So Amar of Yosef hishtin v'rok chayev chatas. If he does urinate from one rishos to another, or he spits from one rishos to another, then he would be chayev chatas because he transferred something from one rishos to another. The question is, don't you need that the akira should be from a place 4x4 tefachim, and the hanocha needs to be on a place 4x4 tefachim? So fine, the hanocha is he spitting or he's urinating onto the ground. So there's your 4 tefachim. But the urine or the spit is not coming from a place 4x4 tefachim. Ah, so the answer is his machshava that he wants to get rid of the urine or the spit makes his mouth or makes his aver considered as if it was a place 4x4 tefachim. In fact, if you weren't going to say that, what about a hada amar Rava? Then you'd have to consider a din that Rava says, which we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Zorak v'noch b'fi akelav oy b'fi akivshon. If a person throws something in Rishas Rabim, or if a person throws something in Rishas Rabim and it lands in a furnace, so it burnt before it actually landed, or it landed in a dog's mouth. Now we're talking about where he wanted it to fall into the furnace, or he wanted it to fall into the dog's mouth. So then chayev chatas. So wouldn't you say, okay, his machshava was accomplished. So what? Don't you need that it lands on a mokum dalid, and the fire or the where it gets burnt in the air before it ever lands in the kivshan or lands in the dog's mouth, and it didn't land on a mokum dalid, ela machshavte meshavya lemokum. The answer is because his machshava is for it to land over there, therefore his machshava makes it that it's considered a mokum. The same thing is true over here as far as the Akira. Now, Tosfos does say you would have to have a condition of that is that he has some hana from it landing in that particular place. If you had, let's say, for example, you have a stick sticking up in Rosh Hashanah, and he throws something and it lands on top of the stick, then we wouldn't necessarily say that he's chayev, because even if he wants it to land on there, he's not really getting any particular hana from it landing over there. So therefore, unless if he's playing ring toss or something, then yeah, but if he's just stam throwing and it lands on top of the stick, then not necessarily. But here he has hana, he wants to feed the dog, he wants to burn the thing or whatever. So therefore, that's considered that makes it a mokum. There is hana, right. Boy Rava, so Rava asks the question, what about, so now we're talking about where he's standing in Rosh Hashanah, Yachid, and let's say as far as the urination, where the end of his aver is also in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then the stream is going from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, we say he'd be chayev chatas. What about Rava asks, who Rosh Hashanah Yachid or pi ama Rosh Hashanah Rabim mahu? What happens if he's standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but the tip of the ama is out already in the other rishos? So then what would be the din? Baser Akira Azlinon. Do we go according to the Akira? And the Akira is therefore, now, Akira meaning from the body. Where is it coming out? It's coming out of his bladder. His bladder, like the rest of his body, is inside the other Rishus. So therefore, he's still carrying from one Rishus to another. Oy Baser Yitzia Azlinon. Or do we say we go according to where it comes out? And where it comes out is already in Rishus Rabim. And therefore, he's just doing in from Rishus Rabim into Rishus Rabim. And it's less than Fuamas. So therefore, there's no problem. And the answer is Teku. Not sure, so therefore he's also to do it, but he's not chayv chatas for it. I don't know. Okay. No. Okay. Okay. I don't think so. Okay. Okay. Well, we talked about it yesterday in the Gemara. There are two different cases. One is where you throw it and you didn't intend for the dog to catch it and the dog caught it. Then we say you potter. The other case is where you intended for the dog to catch it and then it's chayev. We also learned in Masechta Shabbos, there's a difference whether you threw it exactly to where the dog is or whether the dog had to run and get it, etc. Yeah. Okay. No, we're talking about four amas in Rosh Hashanah Abim or from one Rosh Hashanah to another. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it goes above 10 tefachim. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Chen Lo Yoruk, the same thing, you're not allowed to spit from one Rishus into another. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda Omer V'chol. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're also not allowed to walk in Rosh Hashanah Abim with saliva in your mouth more than four amas. If the saliva was detached, he said, Af Mishin Nitlash Rukai B'fiv, also once the saliva was detached in his mouth. So does that mean afakavdalei hafichba? Does that mean that he would be also, according to the Bihuda, even if he didn't turn over the saliva in his mouth? Now, you know how it is. You have saliva collects in your mouth, but then you have, like, you turn it over with your tongue in order to get it into a bowl so you can spit it out, right? So does that mean even if you didn't do that? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah, in connection with the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara. The Mishnah is actually in Masechet Kelim, even though the halachas that we're talking about are more relevant to Masechet Machshirin, but this particular one is in Kelim. If a person was eating a fig with his and his hands were tamei, now Rashi explains that we're talking about that the fig over here is truma. His hands are tamei, he didn't wash them. His hands midrabanan are sheni l'truma, so therefore they will pass all the truma because a sheni touches truma, it makes it a shlishi, and a shlishi is possible. Tosfos says we don't necessarily have to be talking about that. We could be talking about the fig is actually chulin, but we have a rule. We have a rule that even though usually we're used to that tumah goes downward, a rishon makes a sheni makes a shlishi, etc. But when it comes to liquids, then midrabanan, you have that liquids are almost always considered a rishon l'tumah. So therefore, even a sheni l'tumah, the hands touches the liquid, they make it a rishon l'tumah. So therefore, the result is you're going to have his hands are a sheni l'tumah, as we're going to describe. They touch his saliva, makes it a rishon l'tumah. Then the saliva touches the fig and makes it a sheni l'tumah. So it could even work that we're talking about, and the problem is then, if he then eats that fig, then he's eaten food, which is tamei, and midrabanan, as long as he eats a certain amount of food, as we learned previously on Daf Pei Beis Pei Gimel, then he himself will be tamei, and he can't eat truma until he tovels, midrabanan. So Tosfos learns it doesn't have to be that we're dealing yet with truma over here at all, the whole thing, we're dealing with cholin, but the question is he going to become tamei as a result of this? Anyway, so he's eating a fig, his hands are tamei. What Maseravis means unclean, dirty or unclean, or whatever it means. That it means he hasn't washed his hands. The hichnis yodil seich piv little tsur. Then he puts his hand into his mouth to take out a pebble. He accidentally ate a pebble together with the fig, let's say, and now he's reaching into his mouth to take out the pebble, and therefore his hands are getting wet with saliva. And touching the fig. Rameir matame. Rameir says that the fig is tame because he says. Now remember, food needs to be mukshal lekabel tumah in order to become tummy. He says the fig became mukshal lekabel tumah with his saliva. We know that one of the shiva mashkim that make food mukshal lekabel tumah is water. Saliva is considered a type of water. Therefore it was mashir the fig lekabel tumah. And once he touches the fig with his hands that are tummy, then he makes the fig tummy. Well, yeah, that's true. Exactly. He wants the saliva to be there, right? Rabbi Yossi says he's tahor because Rabbi Yossi says the fig is tahor because Rabbi Yossi says as long as the saliva is in his mouth, it's not considered a mashke. So it's considered it's part of his body. So therefore, it's not mukshal kabal tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Hipich batame, if he turned over the saliva in his mouth, which is why we're bringing this here in our Gemara, then the fig is tame, loy hipich batar. And if he didn't, if it's just stand the saliva that's in his mouth regularly, then the fig is tahor. So we see Rabbi Yehuda holds the difference whether you turned over the saliva or not. So why in our Mishnah does he not seem to be making that difference? He's just saying Mishnah nitlash rukei b'fiv, that was detached from his mouth, but he hasn't actually hippich in it yet. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan muchlefes hashita. Rabbi Yechanan says, the shita is changed. Now, very often in the Gemara, when we say mochlefes hashita, what it means is we're switching around the opinions. The opinion that we thought was from one Tana, we're saying is actually from a different Tana. Rabbeinu Chananel does understand it that way over here. However, Rashi does not understand it that way. He understands mochlefes hashita, meaning Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda originally held that what he says over there that only if hipichba is considered that it's matame, and then he changed his mind and said what he says in our Mishnah over here that even nitlash rukei b'fiv, then already it's considered that you're carrying it. That's Rabbi Yechanan. Resh Lakish amal olam lo tachlif. Resh Lakish says you don't have to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Because our Mishnah is not just talking about regular saliva. Our Mishnah is actually talking about phlegm. which is therefore, so even if he wasn't mahapich, even if he didn't turn it over in his mouth, but it's phlegm, it's not regular saliva, so therefore already it's considered not part of his body once it's in his mouth, because he wants to get it out as soon as possible. But the question is, v'hotanya Rabbi Yehuda o'me kichay v'nitlash. What do you mean, though? A braisa says that Rabbi Yehuda says that we're talking about kichay where it was detached from his mouth. My lav roik v'nitlash. Now, shouldn't we assume, even though the braisa is mentioning kichay, that it means kichay as well as rukay? Now, the question is, obviously, why should we assume that? Why are we using the Braisa as a question on Rish Lakish if the Braisa clearly says kichay? So, in fact, there's a different girsa. In fact, there's a different gear set brings on the side by me. Dukas Sofrim also brings it that what the Braisa is saying, that the Braisa is saying, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kichoy v'chein rukoy. Kichoy as well as rukoy, and so we should assume it means the same thing. If whatever applies to kichoy, to phlegm, also applies to rukoy, and therefore, so it would mean both of them as only v'nitlash. The answer is loy kichoy v'nitlash. No, it's two different things. Kichoy, we're talking about just the fact that it was detached in his mouth, then he has to spit it out before he walks for Amos. Whereas Roik, according to Rish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that since it's a more normal thing for it to be in his mouth, then only if Hippich, only if he turns it over with his tongue and gets it ready to spit, then he has to spit within four Amos. So there would actually be a difference. Well, maybe. I mean, okay, but if you can't walk more than four amas with it in your mouth, then you have to, you know. So fine. So in that case, then maybe you don't spit on the ground if you're concerned that it's going to promote the growth of plants over there. I mean, if it's bare ground, then I guess you don't have a problem. But if it's if you're walking on grass or whatever, then maybe you have to spit into your clothing and then just later on take your clothing home and put it away. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "V'hatanya Rabbi Yehuda emer kichay shenitlash v'chein rukay shenitlash." We have another braisa that clearly says that Rabbi Yehuda says that both kichay and rukay is both shenitlash, only if it was detached in his mouth. Kichay, we said, is phlegm. So then, both of them is only nitlash. So unlike what we're saying now, according to Rish Lakish, that kichay, it's enough that nitlash, but rukay, in order to make it work with the Mishnah and Kalim, it would have to be that it was actually hippich, that he turned it over in his mouth. So the Braisa here is clearly saying that no, Rabbi Yehuda says the same din applies to both. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. Ela machvarta kedishanin and meikara. It's clear we have to answer like we did originally. We can't accept Rish Lakish's understanding. We have to accept Rabbi Yechanan's understanding that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Or like Rabbeinu Hananel says that the opinions in the Mishnah are mixed up, and Rabbi Yehuda is actually the one who said that the saliva. Rabbi Yehuda is actually the one who said the opinion that we attributed to the mayor that the saliva is already metame because it's already not considered part of his body. Okay. Yeah. Even the Gemara speaks about phlegm. Yeah. So now. Probably it would be bottled to your clothing, but I'm not. You're right. I'm not sure about that. Okay, you're right. Maybe you can't put it. Maybe you can't spit it in here. Maybe I don't know. So maybe you could. Maybe you can't. I'm not.
Let's not talk about what you were doing about it. I have some suggestions, but I don't
know. Okay, whatever. But but Pash, just normally you just spit it on the ground. Again, if it's windy, then you have the Yerushalmi's problem. So then you have to, I guess, then try to keep it from blowing away in the wind. You know. Right. So, yeah. Most places are concrete, and therefore, yeah. Okay. Okay. So a short piece of agadta about this, about phlegm. Omer Rish Lakish kiach bifnei rabbi chayev misa. If a person has phlegm in front of his rebbe, then he's chayev misa. Shenema, as the pasuk says, kol mesanai ohavu mavas. The pasuk says, the Torah personified says, all who hate me love death. And al tikri lamasanai elalamasniyai, not those who hate the Torah, but those who cause other people to hate the Torah. So when a person does that in front of his Rebbe, it makes that other people have less respect for the Torah. Look at this, he's doing such a disrespectful thing in front of his Rebbe. And in fact, Meiri says on this that what it is he shows with this, not just he's making other people disrespect the Torah, but he himself is showing a major lack of respect for the Torah by doing this in front of his Rebbe. So the question is, v'hamenas onis, what do you mean? He has an onus, he's sick, he's cold, or whatever, therefore he has phlegm. The answer is you're right. Kiach v'rok kaminim. What he means is if he has phlegm in his mouth and he spits it out in front of his Rebbe, what he should do is either he turns to a side away from his Rebbe, or mavliye b'ksusay, like we said, he spits into his clothing. That would be more respectful. But to spit right there in front of his Rebbe is very disrespectful. By the way, one thing that comes of this, you know, we spit in shul when we say Aleinu, when we say Shem Mishtachlim Lahavav Ladrik. What you should do, though, is you turn away from the Aron Kodesh. So let's say you're standing on that side of the shul over there, then you turn in that direction. You turn further away and you spit. And the same thing, yeah. If you're standing directly in front of the Aron Kodesh, then I don't know what you do. Then maybe you turn all the way backwards. But yeah, and the point is don't do it directly in front of the Aron Kodesh. Yeah. Okay. Taking the shalosh is something else. Yes, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that it's disrespectful to take off your tefillin in front of your Rebbe. Yeah, there are a number of things that it mentions. Yeah. Well, and not in Gemara, as far as I know, in Shulchan Aruch and in Hilchos Kvod Rabbi, then it mentions all of them together. Yeah. Yeah, it's talking about many of these things. I'm probably talking about Rabbi Muvhak, like somebody that you learn most of your chokhma from. It's not talking about necessarily the kind of Rebbe like we have in Pirkei Avos, where David learned two things from Achitofel. Okay. Mishnah says, Lo yamid adam b'shus ha'yachid v'yishta b'shus ha'rabim. A person shouldn't stand in b'shus ha'yachid and drink and reach out over into b'shus ha'rabim and drink, or b'shus ha'rabim v'yishta b'shus ha'yachid, because the problem is he might take the keli into the reshus where he is. He's reaching out over there. There's a keli, let's say by the well or something, and he's taking a drink of water. He might take the keli back into the house with him. He's standing in Rishas HaYachid. He's reaching out the window and drinking from a well or a fountain or whatever in Rishas HaRabim. The problem is that he might take the keli back into Rishas HaYachid where he is. It doesn't matter within four because Rishas to Rishas is still, yeah. Elim ken hichnis roshe v'rubay l'makam shu shoyse. Unless he puts his head and most of his body into the part or into the Rishas where he's drinking. Once he does that, then we're not concerned. So then he's going to take the keli into the other rishus. V'chein begas, and the same thing applies to a wine press. We'll see in the Gemara what those words mean. So the Gemara starts off. Reisha Rabbanan v'sefer the mayor. We just said that the previous Mishnah, that the previous Mishnah was according to the Rabbanan, where we said you're allowed to stand in one Rishus and move something in the other Rishus. The Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Chesem and Beis, we said was according to the Rabbanan. We had Rav Chanina bar Shlemya thought that it should be according to the mayor and the gear servant should be different, and Rav corrected him. So that part is according to the Rabbanan. V'sefer the mayor. Now all of a sudden we have the sefer is like the mayor who according to the Chachamim, what would be the problem of reaching from one Rishus into another and drinking the same way as you should be allowed to reach out to the other Rishus and pick up a key, let's say, and move it less than four amos, the same way you should be able to reach out and drink. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, "B'chafetz in shetzrichim loy v'divrei hakol." No, because our Mishnah is talking about an object which he needs. So because he needs it in the current Rishus where he is, we're concerned he might actually bring it in there. The previous Mishnah is talking about, let's say, a key. He has no need of it in the Rishus where he is. The key is needed to unlock a door that's facing Rishus Rabin, let's say. So therefore, there's no problem that we're concerned he's going to bring it in. But here, we're talking about a keli, which he could use inside also. So therefore, we're concerned that he's going to bring it in. The Rambam, by the way, understands kelim chafetzim shetzrichim loy a little bit differently. Not just we're talking about a keli that he could use inside. The Rambam learns that we're talking about a choshev a keli. That there would be a difference between a choshev a keli and a non-choshev a keli. A choshev a keli, we're concerned he may bring inside. A non-choshev a keli, we're saying he's willing to leave outside. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It brings first the explanation of Rashi as the main opinion, and then V'yesh Omrim, it brings the opinion of the Rambam. The Alter Rebbe doesn't even bring the Rambam's opinion at all. He says in general when the Mechaber brings two opinions and says the second one is Yesh Omrim, then it means he wants to paskin like the first one. So therefore the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch just brings the first opinion, and that's that. So it doesn't matter whether it's a chosh of a keli or not, like the Rambam. It just matters whether it's a keli that he could use inside or not. If it is, then he can't reach out and then use it in the other rishus. That's in the Gemara when we have two lashonis. We have a first lashon and then we have lishna achrina or ikad amri or whatever. Then generally we say we go according to the second lashon. But in Shulchan Aruch, when the Mechaber says a certain thing, and then he says v'yesh omrim, such and such, generally speaking, it means he wants the Paskin like the primarily like the first one. So he's mentioning the second one for completeness' sake, but yeah. Two things in Rashi, I don't know. Sometimes, so then it's case by case thing. Sometimes Rashi himself, many times when Rashi brings two lashonas, he himself will say harishin ikur or sheni ikur or whatever. Yeah, I like this one or I like that. Right. Okay. Keep in mind, Rashi is not here. Rashi is here to explain the Gemara for us. Rashi is not primarily here to paskin halacha. So many times we don't actually paskin halacha like Rashi's pshatim, especially because sometimes Rashi, in fact, you'll sometimes even have in a Mishnah or at the beginning of a Gemara where Rashi will explain something not even according to the maskana of the Gemara. He'll just explain according to the havamina of the Gemara just because it's more straightforward when you're learning the Mishnah. Later on in the Gemara, he'll explain the, right. So, right. Right. So sometimes you have where Rashi will tell us the halacha is such and such, but not very often. But you have. I mean, there's entire svarim about these things. There's a sefer called Halichos Olam, for example, from one of the late Rishonim, a generation or two before the Beis Yosef, who deals in detail with a lot of these klalim of piske halacha. You have other svarim. You have Yad Malachi. You have Sdei Chemed brings this kind of thing a lot. So yeah, you have rules. You have rules that the Rishonim and the Achronim put together of when it comes to a machloikas Rishonim, when we paskin halacha like one versus the other, but many times we don't have a klal, and then you end up with a machlokas of who in fact the paskin like. You'll have the Mechaber versus the Ramah arguing about it. You'll have the Noitzei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch, etc. Okay. Fine. So therefore, the Divrei Hakol, so our Mishnah could be according to everybody, even the Chachamim would agree that where it's a keli that you could use in the current Rishus, or as the Rambam says, where it's an important keli, then we're going to be gozer that you might take it into the Rishus where you are. Okay. So now we have a question. What about are you allowed to stand in Carmelis and drink from a well in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or vice versa, or Rosh Hashanah Abim or whatever? Amar Abaya hihi. So Abaya says, same thing. No, hihi does not mean that Abaya was laughing. I had a seventh grade Rebbe who one time gave us a test with multiple choice where you had a Gemara and Baba Basra where Abaya says he, and one of the choices was Abaya was laughing. But that, no, that's not what it means. It means Abaya is saying it's the same thing. The same rule that applies to Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Abim applies to one of them to Karmelis and vice versa. Omar Rava, but Rava says no. He goof exera. The whole thing itself is exera because he might take the keli into the other rishus. Va'anan nekum benigz exera l'exera. You want us to make exera l'exera? You don't do that. Now Abaya, the Gemara is going to point out that Abaya is going to bring a proof from our Mishnah. But why indeed would Abaya say that we make exera l'exera? We generally don't in Hilchos Shabbos. We generally don't in general in halacha. So there's a number of reasons. Among them are because Haitzah, we've learned before, is a malacha grua. It's the kind of thing you wouldn't even know it's a malacha if you didn't have Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh telling you that it is. So therefore we need to maybe make exera l'exera in order to strengthen it. Carrying is also the most common malacha that people do, much more than anything else. Therefore, we might have to make exera l'exera. And there's a number of other reasons that the Rishonim bring why Abaya says that in this case, it's appropriate to make exera l'exera. No, if you want to drink, then you do Rosh HaVirubai, like we said in the Mishnah. A person has to drink, but still, so you stick out Rosh HaVirubai into the other Rishos. Amar Abaya Menah Aminah. So Abaya says, where do I get this that I'm saying that the same thing applies to Carmelis? Midikotoni, because the Mishnah continues, V'chein Begas. The Mishnah says the same thing applies to a wine press. Now, we can't be talking about the wine press as a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Abim, because then what's the Chiddush? It's the same thing as the first part of the Mishnah. You can't be talking about they're both Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because then, of course, you're allowed to. So it has to be talking about the wine press as a Carmelis. Namely, it's at least 4x4 Tfachim, but it's not 10 Tfachim deep. Therefore, it's a Carmelis. And the Mishnah is telling us the same din applies to a wine press, that if you want to drink from it, then you can't do that unless you stick Rosh HaVirubai over the wine press. However, Rava Omar, Rava says that's not a proof because L'inyan Meiser, the Mishnah, when it says V'chein Begas, is actually talking about a different din, a din regarding Meiser. Nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos anymore. The Mishnah is just telling us the same kind of thing that you have where you need Rosh HaVirubai as far as Shabbos. You should know, by the way, the same thing applies as far as Meiser. Namely, now you have a din, this we did mention in the Ein Yaakov Shiur yesterday, that you have a din that you are allowed, before food has been meisered, you're allowed to eat achilas arai from it. You're allowed to eat a snack from it. However, there are certain things that are keveya that make it that now it's considered it's a regular, you're eating it in the regular way, and therefore it's also until you take truma and meiser. There are six things that are keveya. So then, so over here, what we're talking about is that if he takes a cup of juice from the from the gas and he himself doesn't have roish v'rubay over the gas, then the problem is he's going to bring it to someplace further away from the gas, and that's going to be considered a kvius, and therefore he can't drink unless he takes meiser first. Whereas if he leans over roish v'rubay over the gas and drinks, then that's considered arai. Then that's considered a casual way of doing it, and he's allowed to do that without taking meiser. Just moving, not necessarily for Amos. The point is, he's moving it further away from the gas. The real thing is, we're going to say, is whether he plans to pour back what he doesn't drink back into the gas. But if he moves further away from the gas, then it means he's probably not planning to. He's probably planning to finish it wherever he is, and that would make it a kvius. So, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Maisris about this. We learned this in Masechta Shabbos, by the way, also. You're allowed to lean over the gas and drink the wine. And of course, in those days, they used to often dilute their wine with water because the wine was very thick and syrupy and alcoholic and whatever. So you're allowed to, whether you mix the wine with warm water or with cold water, or potter, and you're still potter from meiser because you're reaching over the gas to drink. As long as you didn't take it away from the gas area, it's not considered Keva, Divir Rameir. This is what Rameir says. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik Mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik says that no, just the fact that you're mixing water makes it a kvius. The Chum say if he mixed it with warm water, then he's chayev to take meiser first, because then he's not going to pour the rest of it back in, because the warm water is going to ruin the rest of the wine. As opposed to, so therefore, if he mixed it with warm water, it shows that he plans to drink the whole thing and to take it away from the gas and not return it. Therefore, it's considered a keva. As opposed to, if he uses cold water, he could then go pour the rest of it back. Obviously, back in those days, they weren't concerned about germs or anything. So it's still considered arai. Because he's going to pour the rest back. So our Mishnah, therefore, is talking according to the mayor, and it's saying, therefore, that he can't stand there and drink from the gas without taking Truma and Meiser unless he sticks Rosh HaVerubai over, because that shows that he's doing it, that shows that he's doing it as a keva. So if it wasn't, so in other words, so Rava is saying, you, Abaya, are arguing that that part of the Mishnah shows that the same din applies to Karmelis. I'm telling you that no, this part of the Mishnah is talking about a din in the halachas of Meiser. Nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. The comparison is just like when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, you have to have Rosh HaVerubah over there to be able to drink, the same way you have to have Rosh HaVerubah over there in order to be able to drink without Meiser on weekdays. Okay. On weekdays, well, we're talking about on weekdays. Well, on Shabbos itself, the point is that Shabbos itself makes it a keva. So therefore, on Shabbos itself, the Shabbos is one of the six things that's keveya food for meiser. So you can't give meiser on Shabbos, therefore he wouldn't be able to drink from it on Shabbos. But the point is, as soon as Shabbos comes in, that wine that's there becomes nikba for meiser. So therefore, he's not going to be able to drink from it on Shabbos. He's going to have to wait till after Shabbos, and then either he can, and then take meiser from it. Yeah. No, all the wine that's in the bar would be nikba for Shabbos once Shabbos comes in. In general, when you have food that nigra malachta, but you don't have one of the six things yet, then you're allowed to eat a snack from it. Once you have one of the six things, Shabbos being one of them, then already that food, you can't eat an achilas arai from it anymore. So we have to be talking about, in other words, that you press the grapes, you press the grapes earlier in the week, and now later in the week, you want to go, later that same week, you want to take a drink from it. Once Shabbos has come, then it's already nikba. Now, after that Shabbos, anytime you want to drink from it, you have to take meiser first.
You can't say that. That's a meiser 10%. So, yes, 10% from that one. It's in the I'll give away.
Oh, so whether you can, so you're talking about whether you can have in mind. So then you get into the question of Breira. Then you get into the question of can you designate the 10 lug or whatever, and afterwards take them out after you're drunk. That depends on the question of whether Breira works, and with things that are ice, and we say Breira doesn't work, la locha. So, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, a person is allowed to collect water from the maschila below 10 tefachim. The scenario is like this. Rashi explains. Roofs in those times were flat. Now you have to have some way of draining water off your off a flat roof. So the way they would do it is they would have a bunch of channels on the roof. They had a bunch of channels or pipes or whatever on the roof that all went to one of two things. Either they went to a mazchila, which is basically a flat, which is a more or less flat board or like an open gutter or something that runs along the side of the roof. It's a little bit tilted, of course, so the water runs off. But it's, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it's within three tefachim of the roof. Or the other possibility is you have a drain pipe. You have a tzinner, which hangs down next to the wall. So those are the two possibilities. So the Mishnah says, if there's a mazchila, if there's only the gutter and there's no drain pipe hanging down from the gutter, then you're allowed to be koilet. You're allowed to catch water falling down from it in the air. In other words, so here you have, for example, so you're allowed to, you stand over there with a keli in Rishus Rabim, let's say, under the edge of the gutter, water is dripping down from there, and you collect it in a keli, and then you can drink it. The point is, that you're not allowed to reach up. You're not allowed to do to be. You're not allowed to be mitzaref, as the Gemara is going to call it, which means, in other words, that you're not allowed to put your hand or the keli or your mouth or whatever directly by the edge of the gutter and drink from there. You have to wait until it goes off. The reason basically is because now the problem is different rishuyos. The gutter is part of rishus hayachid. Because within three tefachim of the roof, so it's so lovered. The you're standing in Rishas Rabim, so you can't take from Rishas Yachid into Rishas Rabim. But once it falls off there, now Rashi points out actually it really wouldn't matter if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. The reason we're mentioning 10 tefachim is because of the next case of the Mishnah involving the drain pipe. In this case with the maschila, it actually wouldn't matter whether you catch the water above 10 tefachim or below, because below 10 tefachim, it's in Rishas Rabim. Above 10 tefachim, it's in Makom Ptur. So either way, you're good, because you're standing in Rishas Rabim. The point is, though, that you can't be mitzana if you can't take it directly from the gutter. It has to fall off the gutter into Makom Ptur or into Rishas Rabim, and only then can you collect it at that point. Yeah. On the other hand, if there's a drain pipe where then the drain pipe goes down to Rishas Rabim, the end of it is more than three tefachim below the roof. So you don't say lovud anymore. So then the end of it is in Rishas Rabim or Makom Ptur, as the case may be. And therefore, Mikol Makom Shoisa, then you're allowed to drink however you want. You can even put your mouth directly to there or the keli directly to there or whatever and collect the water. We'll see in the Gemara, though. There is a condition on that, namely the drain pipe can't be 4x4 tefachim, because if it is, then it's Rishas Yachid. Yeah. So the Gemara now so Rashi explains the reason why we mentioned 10 tefachim in our Mishnah is only because of the drain pipe. Because if the drain pipe is above 10 tefachim, then if the drain pipe is above 10 tefachim, then the problem is if it's 4x4, then it's Rishas Yachid, and if not, then it's still a Karmelis. So therefore, you still have a problem either way. Only if it's below 10 tefachim are you good. As opposed to with the maschila, we really don't care whether you're catching the water within 10 tefachim of the ground or above 10 tefachim from the ground. The point is the maschila itself is Rishas, the gutter itself is Rishas Yachid, so you can't take from it. But once it falls off there, then already it's in Makom Ptur or in Rishas Rabim, so therefore we're good. We're not talking about a gutter, we're talking about a pipe. A pipe coming off the roof. Yeah, the end of the pipe could be 4x4 tefachim. Yeah, practically speaking, you don't see it, but it could happen. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Koilet ein ava mitzarefloi. So we're saying that you can only catch the water that's dripping from the maschila, from the gutter, but not to actually be mitzaref, not to put your mouth or your hand or the barrel over there and then catch it directly. My timer, why not? Because we're talking about the maschila, the gutter is within three tefachim of the roof. So therefore, it's considered like part of the roof, and therefore it's Rishas Yachid, and you're standing in Rishas Rabim. Tani nami hachi, we learn similarly in a braisa. A person can stand in Rishas Yachid. Now, this is the girsa that Rashi has. We're going to talk in a second. Tosfos has a different girsa, Rishas Rabim. So we'll talk about that in a second. But right now, let's deal with the girsa that we have in front of us. that he's standing in Rishus Yochid, Umagbia Yodu Lamaila Ma'asara Tefachim, he then can lift up his hands above 10, so he's standing in Rishus Yochid. For example, Rashi says he's standing on one roof, he lifts up his hands still above 10 Tefachim from the ground, L'pochas Mishloisha Samoch L'gag, within 3 Tefachim of the next roof over, the koilet, and he can catch water that's pouring off that roof, or Vilvad Shalo Yitzarif, as long as he doesn't put his hand over there and take it. So why is that? So Rashi explains, because we're talking about over here, we're talking over here according to the mayor in the previous perek, who said that the other person's roof and your roof are not the same rishus. Unless you made an eruv between you, then you can't carry from his roof to yours. So therefore, so if you put your hands next to his drain pipe, next to his gutter, and take the water directly from there, then you're taking from his roof to your roof, and you can't do that unless you made an eruv. As opposed to if you have your hands above 10 tefachim from the ground, so you're in Makom Ptur, and it's more than 3 tefachim away from his roof, then you'd be able to, because then you're not taking it from his roof, then you're taking the water from Makom Ptur to your roof, and it's fine. Tosfos says, now Tosfos has a different girsa over here. Tosfos's girsa is lo yamad ad bishus harabim v'yagbil yodei l'mata miyod, that he can't have his hands within 10 tefachim of the ground and take from the drain pipe, because again he's taking from rishus yachid directly into rishus harabim. So therefore, nothing to do with the dinim about of a mayor, nothing to do with Rameyer's shita about roofs that are more than or actually what we said in the previous paddock is that a mayor had said that Rameyer had said that if the roofs are more than 10 tefachim difference in elevation, then you can't take from one to the other. So according to Rashi, that's the scenario we're talking about. According to Tosfos, we don't need that. We can be talking about, you're just dealing with the question of Rishus Harabim to Rishus Yochid, or vice versa, and therefore it doesn't matter. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the question of roofs being of roofs being all one Rishus or separate Rishuyas as far as Eid or Echatzeros or whatever. Okay. So, uvavad shelo yitzaref, but again, as long as he doesn't put his hand next to the roof, because then he's taking from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Harabim, or as Rashi says, then he's taking from the other person's Rishus into his Rishus where they don't have an Eruv. Okay. Tanya Idach, another Braisa says the same thing, but phrased differently. Lo yamed adam b'rishus yachid b'yagbiya yodei l'mayla ma'asara tefachim, l'pachas migimol samach l'gag. A person can't stand in rishus yachid, lift up his hand above 10 tefachim, within 3 tefachim next to the roof next to him, v'yitzarif, and put his hand right there and collect the water. Avo koilatu, but he can catch the water that's in the air, that's running off the roof. V'shoysan, he can drink that. In other words, it's the same thing as the previous Braisa, but the previous Braisa had said that he could be koilet, he just can't be mitzaref. This one is saying the other way around, he can't be mitzaref, but he could be koilet. So it's the same din, just phrased differently. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, that sinner we call Mokam Shoisa, that if he's taking the water from the drain pipe, then he can do it however he wants, even being mitzaref. So Tana, we learned in a Braisa, im yesh betzinner, dalad al dalad osur. If the tzinner, if the opening of the tzinner is 4x4 tefachim, then it would be osur to be mitzaref, even though you're below 10 tefachim, and even though there's no issue of lavud, the problem is that it's a kamelus, mepeshu kamotzi, mirushus l'rushus, because then you're taking from one rishus to another. And if it's above 10 tefachim, then it's going to be a new rishus yachid, and you still have the same problem. So therefore, either way, you wouldn't be able to do that. No, so if it's from Makom Ptur, you're allowed to. That's what we're saying. You're allowed to take the water that's dripping from the Maschila, which is in Makom Ptur, above 10 Tefachim, and take that into Rishus Harabim. Karmelis, what we're saying is you can't take from Karmelis to Rishus Harabim. So if the end of the drain pipe is a Karmelis, namely it's 4, so if the end of the drain pipe is less than 4x4, then it's a Makom Ptur, fine, then you can take from it. But if the edge of it is 4x4, then it's either Rishus Yachid if it's above 10 Tefachim, or Karmelis if it's below 10 Tefachim, and either way, you can't take from that to Rishus Harabim. Okay. Well, yeah, Kamelis is stricter than Makom Ptur. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, b'rishus harabim v'chol yotze gavaya yud tefachim. If you have a pit, a water pit in rishus harabim, and the lip around it is 10 tefachim tall, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it means that the combination of the depth of the well and the lip together, the combination is 10 tefachim, then chaloin sha'agav v'mamalin hemeda b'shabbos, then you're allowed to fill up water from it from a window that's over it on Shabbos. Now you go, because the point is, since it's 10 tefachim tall, then you're going through Makom Ptur. Similarly, Ashba b'Rishas Rabim Gavoya Yud Tfachim. Similarly, if there's a garbage heap in Rishas Rabim, which is at least 10 Tfachim tall, Chalon Sha'agabav Shreifcham Lasecha Mayim B'Shabbos, then you're allowed to pour water, you're allowed to pour waste water out of your window onto that garbage heap on Shabbos, because again, you're pouring into Makom Ptur. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, yeah. So the Gemara asks, "Maya Skinan, what's the scenario? Ilema b'smucha, if the burr is within four tfachim of the wall, lomali chulya yud, then why do you need there to be a chulya anyway? The burr itself is a rishus yachid, because we're assuming the burr itself, at this point, we're assuming the burr itself is 10 tfachim deep. And there's no rishus rabim between the burr and your window, because it's within four tfachim. So therefore, you should be allowed to draw directly from the well, even though there's no lip around the well, just because the well itself is 10 tefachim deep. You're going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. That beyond the well is Rishus HaRabim, but the well itself is so close to the wall, it's within four tefachim of the wall, that the space between them can't be called Rishus HaRabim. Nobody's going to walk in that narrow space of less than four tefachim. Yeah, you can't. So you're going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. So what's the problem? So if the well belonged to more people, then you get into issues of Eidovin, of Eidovin Chatzeres or whatever. But if it's your own well, then yeah, what's the problem? So Rav Huna says, yeah, you're talking about actually where it's four tefachim away from the wall. So therefore, the time of the ikacholya asara. So the only reason you're allowed to draw water from it is because it has a lip which is 10 tefachim tall. Holeka cholya asara. If not, then you have a problem. Kamatalto mirshas yachad, mirshas yachad derech rishas rabim. Then it comes out. You're carrying from one rishas yachad, which is the well, into another rishas yachad in your house, but going through rishas rabim because up to 10 tefachim is rishas rabim, and then no good. The burr is at least four tefachim away from the wall, so the space between the burr and the wall is part of Rishas Rabim. So then when you lift up the bucket, then you're carrying from it, you're taking from Rishas Yachid, which is the well, through Rishas Rabim, over Rishas Rabim, within 10 tefachim of the ground, and then up into your window. More than four tefachim away from the wall, that's what I'm saying. If the space is less than four tefachim, then nobody is going to be able to walk through. But if the space is more than four tefachim, that's Rav Huna is telling us. The case is that the well is more than four tefachim away from the wall. So therefore, this area over here is still part of Rishus Rabim. Yeah. No. We're talking about horizontally. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Afilu Tema B'Smucha. Rabbi Yechanan says no. It could even be talking about where it is within four tefachim of the wall. The reason why we mentioned that there was a chulya. You're asking what do we need a chulya for? Because the well itself is 10 tefachim deep. What we're saying is the chiddush is Hakamash Malon to burr v'chul yosim etzdar from la'asara. The Mishnah wants to tell us the chiddush that the pit plus the chulya together combined to 10 tefachim. You shouldn't think if the well is only 5 tefachim deep and the chulya is another 5, maybe they don't combine because one is below ground and the other is above ground. No, they do combine together, and therefore the whole thing is considered a Rishus HaYachid. Even though, as we've talked about before, you may not easily be able to do you necessarily have an area four tefachim wide that you can put things on? No, because the well the lip of the well is narrow. But as we've learned before, you could conceivably put a board on top of it where then you have a space 4x4 tefachim and you're able to put things on it. So therefore the lip can count towards the 10 tefachim. Okay. We said Ashba b'Rishus HaRabim. So if it's 4x4, then you're going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't matter whether you have a piece of wood. The fact that you could, it's still the fact that you have a pit where the lip plus the depth of the pit together is a distance of 10 tefachim and the width of it is at least 4x4, then it counts as a Rishus HaYachid. If it's not 4x4, then it'll be a Makom Ptur. And if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, then it'll be a Kaimelis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, by the way, the Ritva mentions a Svara over here, according to Rav Huna, where we're saying that you're carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid through Rishus HaRabim. He says, now, if it was just that you were taking it directly, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is you're carrying a heavy bucket of water. There's a good likelihood that you're going to stop a minute while you're bringing it up. And for a moment over there, it's going to be hanging in Rishus HaRabim within 10 tefachim of the ground. And there you have a problem. He says this Mishnah actually might be only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says klutah kamicha huncha. The fact that it's passing through the space of Rishus Rabbim makes it as though it's landing in Rishus Rabbim. Not necessarily would it be according to the Chachamim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ashba b'Rishus Rabbim b'chola. We said if there's a garbage heap in Rishus Rabbim, then you're allowed to pour water out of your window onto it. So the question is, v'loy chashin and shemet zinotel ashba. So what, are we not concerned that the ashba is going to get cleared away and people are going to continue pouring water without realizing that now they're pouring directly into Rishus Rabbim? V'amar rovin barav ada, amar Rabbi Yitzchak. This we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Maisa b'mavui echad, it happened with a certain mavui, shet sida echad kolol yam, but sida echad kolol ashba. One end of it ended at the yam, at a lake or an ocean or whatever, where the banks of it were steep, and there's a steep drop off over there, so it can be considered a mechitza on that side, or it doesn't have to be completely vertical. We've learned before, it can be a meslachet yud tfachim, it can be a 45% grade or whatever, where that's also considered a wall lalacha. And v'tzidu echad kolol ashba, the other side ended in an ashba, at a garbage heap, which was at least 10 tfachim tall. Yeah, by the way, different understandings among the Rishonim. Are we talking about that the long ends of the Mavi face those things respectively? In other words, the short end of the Mavi faces houses, the other short end faces Rishus Rabbim, and then we're talking about the two sides of the Yam and the Ashba respectively? Or are we talking about that the two short ends are the Yam, the Rambam, for example, learns that way, and he says that the question was whether it needs a Lechi or a Koda. Or do we say that the yam and the ashba respectively serve as mechitzis, and therefore you don't need a lechi or koda there? Rashi learns that we're talking about that they're the sides of it, so we know it needs a lechi or koda. But the question is it even a valid mavui? Because what if the garbage gets cleared away, for example, then you don't have a wall on that side b'chlal. So uba ma'isa lifnei Rebbe. So the case was brought to Rebbe. V'loy amaboy loy heter loy isur v'loy heter. Rebbe didn't want to say that it's Osir, or that it's mutter. According to Rashi, whether you can carry in that mavui b'chlal, even if you make a lechi or koda. According to the Rambam, do you need to make a lechi or do you not? Why? Heter lay amabai. He didn't want to say a heter in it. The chayshin and shemetin notal ashba. We're concerned the garbage heap might get cleared away, so then you don't have a machitza on that side. And with yala yam shutain. And that the lake might cast up dirt, where you have, you know, dirt, you have, you know, like you think of the waves on the beach, for example, they're always casting up dirt onto the ground. So you may have that the drop-off over there ends up may not being such a drop-off. It may be flatter. It may be flattened out. Yeah, you have a whole bunch of dirt deposited over there. Yeah, after a storm, let's say, yeah. So he didn't want to say that it's mutter. Isur loy amabai. He didn't want to say that it's osur deho kayomen mechitzes, because right now you have the mechitzes standing there. So we see that there's always a concern with an ashba that it might be cleared away. Why over here do we not seem to be concerned about that? The answer is, like you said, loy kasha hodi yochid hodi rabin. It depends whether we're talking about an ashba that belongs to an individual, which was the situation in that mavui, versus our Mishnah is talking about an ashba that belongs to the rabin. It's much less likely to get cleared away. So therefore you can continue. Therefore you can pour water to it without worrying that one day it might be corded away. But if it was an ashba to yachid, then yes, you wouldn't be allowed to. Well, yachid doesn't necessarily mean his own. It could be it belongs to somebody else. We wouldn't necessarily say that you need to make an eruv chatzeres with it, because after all, it's not a makom dira. But so it could belong to his neighbors, but whatever. If it belongs to some yachid, then you can't, because it might get cleared away and he doesn't pay attention and he continues pouring water over there. Your window is Rishus Yachid. The garbage heap is Makom Patur, because it's sitting in Rishus Rabbim, but it's above 10 Tfachim. So it's either a Rishus Yachid if it's 4x4, or it's a Makom Patur if it's less than four by four. Either way, it's 10 Tfachim tall, so therefore you're allowed to, because either you're going from Rishus Yachid to Makom Patur, or Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid, and either way you're good. But you're going above 10 Tfachim, so therefore it's also Makom Patur. Yeah. Okay. Everyone.